This is Louise Gartner with Spectrum Commodities, taking a look at the grain markets for Thursday, March 7th. Well, the wheat markets continue to collapse here as we're looking at world prices that have dipped below $200 a ton FOB. That is mostly coming out of the Black Sea. So it's just really leaning on the wheat space. Hedge funds, of course, have been short wheat for months. They're adding to those positions. So it's a market that is, I think, accelerating, well, clearly is accelerating to the downside, but I think is in the process of carving out a longer-term low with this kind of price action. Corn and soybeans were more quiet. Corn was up a couple cents. Soybeans were down a bit. Corn finding some support from the EIA report, which showed that ethanol production wasn't quite as big as what they expected, down 21,000 barrels per day to 1.057 million. Blender demand was up 2,000 to 874,000 barrels per day. And ethanol stocks were up just 0.1, which was percent, to 26.05 million barrels. So that was about equal with where we were a year ago, and it's a little bit less than what the trade was looking for. The other thing with corn is we're seeing quite a bit of demand showing up from China. It's not for U.S. corn. It is for Ukraine corn. But they're buying Ukraine corn at prices that are equal to or even slightly higher than what the U.S. is offering and what would be landed in China. So we don't know why China is snubbing the United States and opting for Ukraine, but they are. But I think the bottom line is they're buying at prices that are actually a little bit higher than U.S. prices. So there's no reason for the U.S. to continue to discount corn prices, I think, at this point. We've got the European Union offering another lifeline to Ukraine. They decided to extend the tariff-free imports of Ukraine food into the broader EU until June of 2025. So that's over a year from now. There, you know, obviously there's been a lot of pushback from farmers in the EU, especially in the eastern part of the continent. But they are offering to help those guys out. But what they're saying is they're going to put an emergency brake on a couple products, poultry, eggs, sugar, that if prices get below the two-year average, they're going to tap the brakes on imports of those products. They didn't say anything about wheat, which has kind of been the biggest issue, but they've, in the past, they said they're going to help those European countries with the transportation of Ukraine grain to get it to the ports rather than have it stuck inside their countries. That hasn't worked very well in the recent past, which is why farmers have become so angry. But hopefully they can get that figured out. Egypt put out a tender yesterday afternoon. Some surprising numbers in the FOB offers. You know, part of the reason for this wheat collapse over these last few sessions has been the Russian FOB offers at around 198. Well, Egypt tendered yesterday, and the lowest FOB offer is Bulgaria at 225. The Russian offers are 235 for a 180-day line of credit, and they're at 260 for a 270-day line of credit. That's way above what supposedly they've been selling wheat for in more of a what would apparently be more private sales. So we'll see where this all shakes out. But Egypt has had to devalue their currency in the last couple of days to secure another IMF loan. And that's going to decrease their purchasing power, obviously. So it makes it even more difficult for Egypt, but they have to buy wheat. And it is surprising that they're so aggressive getting wheat secured when their own harvest starts in about a month. So obviously they're in pretty short supply for wheat. We'll get the results of the tender today. They'll give us a snapshot of where world prices are, but clearly they're well above what has been reported to the market here and what has been trading over the last few days. So the wheat market on the night session is responding to this. We're higher. We've got Chicago up 3, but KC is up 10, Minneapolis up 9. Soybeans are up 14, corn is up 5. So grains are catching an updraft here. Corn is pretty close to a recent double bottom. that will offer, I think, significant resistance to the market. I look for that market to test its recent lows one more time before all is said and done. Soybeans had come very close to the downside targets. I think this updraft will be met with more selling simply because you have a lot of pressure coming from Brazil. They are aggressively exporting soybeans, even with the shorter crop. So far, their exports are pretty much in line with a year ago. And for wheat, it might catch an updraft here, but we're not going to compete with Russia, Ukraine, their European Union, at least in the short term. So I think you've got a little bit more work to do on the downside for wheat as well. That said, we are headed into the growing season. We're approaching mid-March. We're breaking dormancy in the Central Plains, where all kinds of things could happen. But we're going to get the crop off to a good start. We've got a lot of moisture coming at us over the next several days. We've got the Southern and Central Plains due for a nice shot of widespread moisture, and that stretches over into the Midwest as well. So there's not really a lack of moisture across much of the plains, and subsoil is much better than we were a year ago as well. In Argentina and Brazil, South American weather looking okay. Argentina is going to get more rain, focus mostly in the eastern part of the country, but the west will get some light rains. The east will get some more heavier rains, might even cause some localized flooding, according to the forecast. In Brazil, sitting fairly well there too, Rio Grande do Sul, which is where a big chunk of their corn is grown, is trending a little dry. The northern and central part of Brazil is also doing okay. They are looking at the monsoon, appears to be weakening a little earlier than normal. So there is some concern about headed into the normal dry season in April without adequate subsoil moisture. We'll just have to see how that all shakes out. But for now, there aren't any major weather threats to the crops in Argentina or Brazil. They are talking about La Nina being in full force by the fall. By October is a 77% chance. So that's more of an issue for the Southern Hemisphere wheat season. So normally that would bring more rain to Australia and less rain to Argentina when you have a La Nina effect through those winter months. So just something to keep in the back of your mind. It's a long way away, but it is something that could be in full force by then. If you have any questions, feel free to call at 1-800-888-9843. This has been Louise Gartner with Spectrum Commodities.